morning, everybody. This is Jane Cormier, your host for Artful Living, here on WKXL 1450 AM, 103.9 FM Concord, and 101.9 FM in Manchester, NewHampshireTalkRadio.com. And don't forget, all of the programs that you hear on WKXL, you can always find right at our website. If you've missed an episode of Artful Living, then feel free to get online and go and pick it up online and give a listen, because this month we are spending wonderful minutes interviewing singers from our New Hampshire Opera Idol competition. And so we have an awful lot of wonderful conversation going on with opera singers and pianists and people that make the competition go. So you might have missed a singer or two in between. Make sure you go over to the website, take a peek, and if you've missed anything, you can hit on it and listen to the show. Today we have a wonderful singer, Tara Yamshedian, and welcome, Tara.
Hi, Jane. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you very much. And thank you for sharing this time with our listeners. Tara is a soprano, and she will be performing as one of the finalists in the New Hampshire Opera Idol on April 28th, right here in the Granite City at the Capitol Center, but it's the Bank of New Hampshire Stage, the Canton Room. And I believe that Tara's going to sing Visitarte there, which we will be able to hear later on in this broadcast, which is kind of exciting. But before we listen to any excerpts, I thought that, Tara, why don't you just tell our audience a little bit about yourself?
Oh, sure. Well, I was born and raised in Connecticut, and then I went over to Boston to study vocal performance at the New England Conservatory of Music. I've always loved to sing. It's always been a passion of mine. But as a kid, I think, like a lot of us, I originally started in musical theater.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and it was my voice teacher at the time who told me my voice was meant to sing opera. And I think I was maybe 13 or 14 years old at this time. And opera was not in my mindset at all. But I agreed with my teacher that even if musical theater was the goal for me, it made sense to get the classical training.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
So that's what I did, yeah. But once I actually discovered opera and learned what it was about, I was officially hooked. Yeah. I haven't looked back since.
You know, it's funny how we keep hearing that trend here on Artful Living with a lot of singers. You started out in musical theater or not even really thinking about the operatic art form in any way.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, here they are and they're out there, you know, teaching the world about beautiful music. That's great. That's
amazing.
A wonderful story.
Amazing.
So I think
as children, we're just exposed to musical theater. And
yeah,
like we do community theater and we have musicals in our school. So yeah. A great way to start.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's funny when you go over if you go overseas and you get a gig, it's only until you go to Europe that you understand how revered musical theater is in the world. Because here it's sort of like, you know, it's musical theater. You know, we see it everywhere. We hear about it. We feel very
right.
accessible to it. When you go over Europe,
yes.
they really, really love it. It's really.
That's so interesting.
Isn't that funny? And yet,
that's so funny.
They probably feel the same way about opera over there.
That's true.
Because
really, it's such an American art form, musical theater, you know?
It is. It really is. It's in every way. So, you know what? I'm not seeing, I see that you have a nice site, TaraYamshedian.com, if anybody was interested.
And you
have a little bio on there as well that talks about the roles. So you are heading toward a dramatic soprano register of singing?
Yeah, I'd say that. Getting there.
Getting there, yeah.
Yes,
you're kind of young to be taking it up all the way, huh?
Kind of, yeah. I need to get my footing first, but that seems to be the direction it's going and where I'm most comfortable. Singing, so.
Yes, I think so.
Mm-hmm.
We can hear it, when we hear you singing. So I see that you sang a concert version of Sieglinde of Die Walküre. How did you find that?
Oh, I loved it, actually. I'm sure you're very familiar with this, but the music of Die Walküre, the Act 1, is perfection. It's amazing. This is such an honor to do it. So
it's very different from what most all the singers, of course, that have been on have been more in the lirico, you know, lirico spinto or coloratura, you know, lyric register. And for our listeners, what's different between singing Wagnerian music as opposed to maybe a lighter spinto repertoire?
Well, I think the Wagnerian music, one aspect of it is just, in essence, how long it is. A lot of these operas are 5 hours long, four hours long, so it just takes the stamina. It's a different kind of strength. I think spinto singers and Italian dramatic singers can sing just as big and just as loud as Wagnerian voices, but in essence, the Wagnerian music is generally longer.
Definitely, the operas are longer. Yeah. I think the register is a little bit lower, perhaps.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, you're right. Especially Sieglinde, right?
Yeah, right. A little bit lower,
pretty
actually.
Pretty low.
Some pretty low, but, you know, some of the operas with their leads are, you know, solid soprano register, but where it sits is a more thick, I think, and a little bit lower tessitura than maybe you would have with other spinto or Italianate kind of opera going on. But definitely stamina, big time important if you're going to be up there. You do know what Birgit Nilsson said, the great Wagnerian soprano. Birgit Nilsson said the most important thing was when you sing Wagner. Did you ever hear that story?
Oh, I think so, but please remind me.
So yeah, so the big story, she says, from being a good singer to a great singer is a good pair of shoes.
That's amazing. That's pretty great.
If you're standing for 5.5 hours or thereabouts,
so true.
Let's make sure you have a good shoe on there. I think she's right.
I'll try to bring good shoes on Sunday.
I'm sure. Well, you're not going to be standing for 5.5 hours. Hopefully, it'll be
a fun little 2 minute aria.
Yeah. No, you know what? It's a big short aria, though.
It is.
In any case, what's going on in this summer? Do you have anything set up for the summer?
Yes, actually, I'm speaking of Die Walküre. I'm performing it at New Jersey Opera Theater, but not as Sieglinde. I'm doing my first Gerhilde, so that should be a blast.
Wow! Wowie zowie! And when is that going to be taking place?
It's in July. Don't quote me on the exact date, but like Jane said, it's on my website. So
yeah,
if you want to check it out,
okay,
you check it there. Yeah.
Yeah. Wonderful. Okay. And anything in the fall? I mean, where did you study? You said New England Conservatory?
Yes, New England Conservatory. I'm actually doing a recital on September 13th. We just booked the date. So it'll be in New York City.
Okay. Whereabouts?
Right outside of Lincoln Center at the Christ and St. Stephen's Church.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Great. And so was that part of your degree, you know, performance part of the degree, or is this just something you're doing for yourself?
Just something I'm doing for myself with my friend, my mezzo singer friend. So we'll do some great duets and then our solo pieces.
Awesome. Awesome. Awesome.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. So we have our Andrew. You're listening to us, right? It's our production guy. Are you on the headset? Great. He is now. Andrew, how many minutes do we have here?
What's that?
How many minutes do we have for this segment?
We only have about 2 minutes.
All right. So we'll probably finish up speaking here. When we come up on the next segment for all our listeners' enjoyment, we will play one of your selections from the New Hampshire Opera Idol competition. And you can maybe set that up for us when we come back after the break. And we'll play that. And we'll play another one later on in the broadcast because I love to put as much music as I can in our shows. I think that not only does it help the interview because we have the product along with the singer, and I think that makes for good talk radio, but we're here all about trying to share some special music. And so the more we play, the better it is. So as we end this segment, why don't you tell us a little bit, very short, what is your short-term future looking like? Where are your goals? Where are you headed now?
Let's see. Well, Jane, as you know, September and the fall is audition season. So So just trying to do as many auditions. And my current goal, very specific, is to get management. That's kind of like the next thing.
Right.
That I'm really looking for. And that would be very helpful.
Absolutely. That makes life much easier for sure.
So
will you be going to Europe, do you think?
I'm thinking about it.
Yeah. It's a big decision.
It's
anyway,
a big decision.
We have a break here coming up. WKXL 1450 AM, 103.9 FM Concord, and 101.9 FM in Manchester. Everybody, just stay where you are. When we come back up on the other side, Tara Yamshidian is going to share an excerpt with us. So don't go away. Art for Living, coming right back. Welcome back, everybody. This is Jane Cormier, your host, WKXL, New Hampshire, talkradio.com, WKXL, 1450 AM, 103.9 FM Concord, and of course, our new signal, 101.9 FM in Manchester. And you're in for a wonderful listening treat if you're just joining us. We're speaking with Tara Yamshidian, who is one of the finalists for our upcoming A New Hampshire Opera Idol competition, which is happening Sunday the 28th at 3 o'clock at the Bank of New Hampshire stage, the Canton Room. And we're hoping everybody will come in and support these singers who are competing for prizes and cash prizes and some contracts. So, Tara, we're going to share your Visi d'Arte selection with the audience. Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about what's happening with this aria?
Oh, sure. Well, Tosca is set in Rome during a great political unrest, and Floria Tosca is a famous opera diva, and the chief of police, Scarpia, who's corrupt and pretty evil, has always lusted over her. So he's now captured her lover, Mario, and he says to Tosca, either you have a night with me or Mario will be executed in the morning. So he's not that great of a guy.
Yeah, he's a meanie.
Exactly.
And so what are you singing? Yeah, what are you singing in
the aria? It's sort of like a prayer. Visi d'arte, visi d'amore. I've lived for art. I've lived for love. I've always been pious and good. God, how could this happen to me?
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. So it's really a very famous aria. I'm sure many people have heard it. It comes at a time in the opera which really made Callas very famous because... You know, shortly after singing this aria, what does Tosca do?
Oh, there's some killing involved.
There's some killing involved,
yeah.
Yes. So it's kind
of,
you know what, this aria really does set that up because we wonder how someone could go so far so fast. But
right,
this aria sets up that situation of here's someone, you know, who believes in God, who goes to church, offers beautiful flowers and... this horrible thing happens and inexplicable, you know, and
can
sort of set the whole thing in motion emotionally. And certainly Tosca,
I agree.
You know, Callas did that for Tosca. In any case, we're going to hear Tara Yamshidian sing Visi d'Arte by Puccini from the opera Tosca.
Oh,
Very nice. Beautiful Thank job, you. Tara. So
Thank you.
What do you find challenging, if anything, about this piece?
I think the challenging part for me is that it's, especially the middle section it's so exposed that it, just keeping that steady is the thing I work the hardest at for me. And then also displaying immense emotion at the same time. It's such an emotional aria.
It did. It's that's 9/10 of the whole piece, right?
Exactly.
It's figuring out how vocally you will be able to maintain what's in the aria, but still be able to expose the most maximum, you know, emotion you can for the audience. It's a real trick for a singer. People don't understand necessarily, no reason why they should, that this emoting is not easy business when you have to keep your voice in the right, you know, in the right column. It could be
like, how many things can you think about in your mind at the same time? Coordination.
Yes. I've always told, listen, I've told people and, you know, students that the great art, the great and artful singers are the ones that have so multi-tiered, multi-faceted what they're doing, that that's really what separates the men from the boys. I mean, you can see it even if you know nothing about the art form. There's something that speaks to it, and it shows itself. I think also the big trick, and this is a trick I think with Puccini in general, is that when he places those high notes, right, the high notes that will come out usually out of an outburst of emotion within the piece, because that's really what he's all about theatrically, it's always the notes before that prep that. And that if you don't feed those notes before, when you go up, It like you said, the connection can be a challenge, you know. So
that's a good point.
You sort of have to figure all of that out while you're working the aria. Is that, you know, even though this might be, you know, B flat or D D D, which is very middle of the, you know, middle of the staff, they are not really repeated B flat or repeated D. What they are doing is getting you ready
to
jump, you know, and God, what do you think?
So in this aria, the piano singing is expected, soft singing is expected. So that can be tricky too, to give you the softness, but to make sure I'm not off my voice. Because if I'm off my voice throughout the aria, like Jane said, I'm not going to make the high notes. So it takes some calculation.
Well, you really do have a beautiful core. Your core is very settled. And what I like about it is it's very unforced, right? That core of the voice seems to be very holistic, yeah? And that's really important for the big voices, you know? Everything comes off the middle, especially
100%,
Wagnerian, you know? Everybody thinks it's the big top notes. Wrong.
Exactly.
So, so you're going to be singing a little bit of Wagner this summer. So compare quickly for us a little bit of singing like a Tosca as opposed to singing a little bit of the Wagner at your age. How old are you, Tara?
Let's just say I'm in my late 30s. So.
Okay. So you're right
so
in
I'm
a good
enough
space.
To sing yep. this stuff, I think, finally. So.
Totally. You're right in the right time frame. You know,
and it's so funny how that works that in my 20s.
Yeah.
impossible.
Yeah.
And then my voice really did change.
Yes, how it is.
I think, in my mid-30s, it changed. So.
Absolutely, and so common. You know, the voice is such a miraculous thing. I can hear my bump music here. We're going to take a little break, and we're going to come back after the break with Tara and talk some more and hear another beautiful selection in German. WKXL, 1450 AM, 103.9 FM Concord, and 101.9 FM in Manchester. Artful Living here, Jane Cormier, your host. Come on back and join our conversation right after the break. Welcome back if you've been with us, and welcome if you're just joining us. WKXL 1450 AM, NewHampshireTalkRadio.com. Jane Cormier, your host here for Artful Living. And as we continue our singer spotlight in honor of the New Hampshire Opera Idol competition happening on April 28th at the Capital Center Bank of New Hampshire Canton Room. That's a mouthful. 3 o'clock. If you want tickets, just go to Capital Center for the Arts. They're right there online. One of the finalists for this is Tara Yamshidian, beautiful soprano, Wagnerian, heading toward Wagnerian soprano for sure. And she just in the last segment shared with us a Visi d'Arte from Tosca. Just beautiful. Tara, you also have a second selection. And you know what? It's in German, and I believe it was at a masterclass. Why don't you tell us a little bit about this selection that we're going to hear and your experience in the masterclass?
Oh, sure. This masterclass was at Jane Eaglin's vocal program for Wagnerian singers and the Boston Wagner Institute. And we were lucky enough to do a masterclass with Ben Hebner.
Wonderful.
So, who's an amazing Wagnerian tenor, so that was pretty great. So really fortunate. And I feel like we're talking about Die Walküre a lot.
Yeah.
This segment of it, it's another aria from Die Walküre. And in this, I play Sieglinde, who was forced into, and kidnapped essentially, into marriage with an abusive husband. And one night, a stranger named Siegmund seeks refuge at their home, and there's an immediate and magical connection.
Yeah,
definitely. Yeah. And he vows to save her and to get her out of this horrible marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And well, in this aria, she's explaining what happened to her and how this godlike man attends her wedding and puts a sword into a tree, and no one has been able to retrieve this sword. So kind of setting that up.
Okay, yeah. Setting that little theme
magic
up.
Story, yeah.
And so the aria you're going to offer, tell us some more about that for our audience so that they know a little bit about it specifically.
The Der Männersippe. It's the story of her wedding night and telling Siegmund how she was kidnapped and how awful that was.
I got you what you're saying. Okay.
So yes, it's and then the wedding story. With the sword. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah,
all
that
right.
That whole story, that whole spiel.
Okay, give me the title again, slower.
Der Männersippe.
Okay, awesome, possum. I had thought it was Du bist der Lenz, but that's a whole other piece. Yes, all right, so there we go.
Exactly.
Let's hear this. This should be a beautiful piece. Hang on.
Thank you.
Yes. Well, no. Such a little piece.
A little ditty, right?
A little ditty, yes. So, you know what? Why don't you tell us a little bit about what the significance is of the tree and the sword in the tree?
Well, that's going to come into play very soon after in the opera, where we're going to find out that Siegmund is the one who is meant to retrieve that sword.
Right.
So I'm definitely setting that up.
Right. You're setting that up. And what happens after the sword is taken?
After the sword is taken, taken, we try, well, obviously we fall in love.
Right.
So. And we find out that it's kind of like a Game of Thrones situation, if I, you will.
Good.
That we're actually brother and sister, and specifically twins.
Mm-hmm.
So we fall in love, and then we will be punished for that.
Right. Can't happen.
Right.
But
can't happen.
It's symbolic, right? The taking of the sword from the tree. Sort of makes sort of makes him the hero of heroes. Is that not correct?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Definitely.
So she has a very difficult life, poor Sieglinde. And you know what? She is one of the most difficult things that a soprano can undertake. And stamina is the key of the game for sure. You know, you seem really comfortable. Your German's excellent. So were you more comfortable with German? As far as learning?
So nice to hear. Actually, so singing Wagner, to be honest, is kind of a surprise for me.
Mm-hmm.
Some people at a young age just know they're meant for that and know that they will go into the dramatic music. But as I mentioned before, it was a big voice change for me.
Sure, sure.
Yeah, so it kind of took me by surprise. So I'm trying to, last couple of years, I've been trying to catch up with the German.
Well, you know what? I think the color's really good.
I'm going to focus on Italian.
Yeah, no.
Thank you. I
like
it.
I feel that the German consonants are very much near the front, which is hard to do, you know, because it's such a thick.
It kind of helps me to sing, I'd say. So.
Yeah. No, yeah. It's because your voice sits there with it. That's great.
Thank you.
Yeah, very good. So, you know what? Why don't you tell a little bit about what you think you want to do for the future? What does your future bring in opera? What do you want to do? Do you want to bring to opera?
Oh, my gosh.
You got to think big. You're singing Wagner.
I know. Exactly. I do have big dreams, and I would love to be an international opera singer, and that's why... as I mentioned, like I'm just over 35, and like a lot of times the cutoff is 35 for these competitions and young artist programs. So
they don't mean anything.
Exactly. So that's why I appreciate opportunities like this one, where I can sing and I'm given a chance. So.
Oh, absolutely. And let's face it. I mean, the big houses know that they have to nurture these voices, because these voices don't happen in their 20s. You do not have a Wagnerian, really, of any note that we can point to. Maybe Birgit Nilsson when she was younger. But really, they're not making their impact till they're well up there. And that's because that's where the voice, you know, does its thing. All right, we have some music here. We're going to take another break. Coming back with Terry Yamshidian, soprano, WKXL, NewHampshireTalkRadio.com. Stay right there. We're coming right back. Welcome back. Jane Cormier here, opera. We are talking about opera today here on Artful Living, and we are highlighting another singer for the New Hampshire Opera Idol Competition, Tara Yamshidian, NewHampshireTalkRadio.com. So, Tara, we just heard a wonderful selection from Die Walküre, and I would like you to tell us a little bit about Tara before opera. Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Stamford, Connecticut, which is maybe about 45 minutes outside of New York City.
Mm-hmm.
Like I mentioned before, theater was always my love, but I did always know I wanted to be a singer.
Right.
But as a kid, it was theater.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, to this day, like I started with community theater, and to this day, my best friends are the children, the kids I met.
Oh, awesome.
Community theater. Yeah. So they're all in the Broadway world, and I'm the only opera singer.
That's all right. That's great.
Yeah.
Good for you. So do you have brothers and sisters? Are your parents musical?
I have one brother, and my family will be there on Sunday, so they're excited to meet you. And well, this is a funny story my mom likes to tell, actually. Apparently, when my parents first met, my father told my mom that he was a huge opera fan as a way to impress her and to get her to go out with him. And this is 100% not true.
Oh, my goodness, really?
I would guess you probably couldn't even name one opera at that time.
Oh, my goodness.
Pretty fitting, and maybe a little bit of karma that now is an opera singing daughter. So,
oh, isn't that funny? So does your mom like music? Why did he think opera would impress her? Was she into music?
Well, she was into music. I wouldn't necessarily say opera. We have musicians in our family.
Uh-huh.
So she always did love music.
Oh, that's good.
But I think it just, you know.
Highbrow stuff.
Okay. I'm cultured. Back on that whole spiel.
Awesome. So. That's very funny. That's cute.
So you have permission to tease him about that on Sunday if you see him. He'll love it.
No, we won't say that. We don't want to embarrass anyone. That's okay.
Okay.
Well, we've just told the whole world here, but that's okay. We won't mention it.
Exactly. No, he'll love it.
So listen, when you were at New England Conservatory, you worked with Helen Hodum. Was she your voice teacher?
Oh, yes. She was.
Okay.
Unfortunately, I only had her for 1 year.
Okay. And who did you study with then?
So after that, I was kind of shuffled around.
Oh.
It's okay. It all worked out.
Yeah.
And funny stories. Like, I actually left school as a contralto.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, obviously not the case, so.
Yeah, no, well, I can understand why, you know.
Exactly. It's tricky when you're young, and then if your voice is on the full side.
Right.
So.
Right. And you got to work with John Moriarty. He's wonderful.
Oh, he was fabulous, He's the diction king.
He sure is. Yes. In fact, I think his book is the best in the world.
I agree.
Yeah, it's kind of like the Bible. And he's a great theatrical kind of guy. He knows how to work the music and the theater together. So
100%.
he was really very important with that when he was doing his thing. So that's great. And who do you study with now?
His name is Julian Kwok. He's in New York City, and he's obviously, I love him.
Mm-hmm.
And then another mentor of mine who I met through this program in Boston is Jane Eaglin. And so she's been, especially with this Wagner new repertoire, she's been so helpful with that.
Oh, I imagine. She's a Wagnerian soprano herself, so that's awesome for you.
Yes, and then another mentor is Fabrizio Milano, who was the director at the Met for many years. So I have a great team. I feel very fortunate.
Yes, Fabrizio Milano is a wonderful, wonderful. Isn't he more theatrical than musical?
So he was an operatic director, and but he helped. But, you know, he's just so knowledgeable, so he even knows about the music.
Well, I mean, when you're at the Met, you kind of do it all, you know?
Exactly, exactly.
He was pretty close to Joan Dornerman when I was out doing my thing. I got to work a couple of operas with him,
amazing.
He was wonderful. Yeah, really good at what he did. So you got
so
a great team. Good for you, girl.
Yeah, I do. I feel very lucky.
So do you go back and forth to New York? Do you have a place in New York, or how do you work that?
Yeah, I kind of, like I said, it's so close. Stanford, my hometown, where my parents still are, and all my family.
Yeah.
So it's 45 minutes. So I kind of split my time. I'm subletting in New York City. So I live here half the time, and I go back and forth.
Right.
That's, Stanford,
That's good. I mean, I know Connecticut, everybody knows that that's not that far away, but when you're doing it multiple times a week or when you're really invested, it's kind of hard to go back and forth. So, you know, that finding a place to stay half time is important. That's good.
Oh, yeah, that's been great.
And you're spending your time learning those roles?
Yes, and getting my package of arias together.
What are they? Tell us what your arias are.
Well, there's been some new developments. I will keep the Wagner. I think specifically Sieglinde's other aria, Du bist der Lenz.
Yes.
Okay. Just being shorter, you know.
Right.
And then Pace Mio Dio, La Forza del Destino, kind of my new Verdi piece.
Cool.
Pleure Mes Yeux, Massenet.
Nice. Yeah.
My French.
Yeah.
Trying to think. I do a little bit of Manolisco.
Beautiful.
And I think just like an interesting thing is the Tosca. I love so much. I love the Visi d'Arte.
Yeah.
But I'm just not sure it's a great audition piece. It's more of a piece that I like to sing for concerts and competitions.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I think that if you really, I don't know, maybe it's just me because I'm old, but if you look at those scores and you really try to bring to life what's on those pages, you know, the messa di voces, all of the dynamics, the style, the fluidity of how the Italian 8 line will go up and come down, I think that it can be a really great aria to offer for audition, because the subtleties in that piece, along with, like we said, if you can show a real and organic emotion, not the ones where we hand ring and, you know, you see people up there and they're singing it and you can look at them and you say, do they even know what their words are, right? But I mean, an organic representation of that piece, I think it's a great aria. I think it's easy for judges to. No, absolutely. Listen, remember,
I do love it. I do love it.
It's a beautiful piece. And remember, I think young singers forget this a lot. When you're a judge or when you're a conductor or when you're an agent, okay, you're hearing a lot of singers. You're hearing a lot of repertoire.
Yeah.
And I will tell you that sometimes brevity, when it's done well, wins the day. Because they don't need, when you know your stuff, you don't need to hear more than a few measures of something.
Right.
To know that I want that singer, you know? So
that's amazing to hear. Because I was a little bit nervous, just specifically auditions for managers and casting directors.
Yeah.
I was just nervous that it's just such a famous aria that everyone has their own version
in
their mind.
That's right.
So if you don't do this, no piano and that kind of thing. If you don't sing like Maria Callas. But
I say stay to the page and do Tara. And
thank you.
And that's how you'll win, because that's what they're looking for. They don't want the same rendition today. They really don't. They want to see what you can bring to it and in your own way, because everybody's different, right? Everybody's an individual.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
I say don't be afraid for the gut busters or the older arias, because
I appreciate that.
Yeah. Absolutely. You have a very unique voice. And, you know, we need large voices in the opera biz. They're fairly rare. So good for you.
I think a lot of people don't know that that opera, we don't sing with microphones.
Yeah.
That's just like such an obvious thing for us. But then I'm like, oh, wait, maybe everyone doesn't know that.
Yeah, absolutely. And don't forget, for our lay folk out there that maybe don't know anything or don't know much about what the opera's about, Wagnerian orchestras are extremely large.
Ooh.
And they're thick in the middle to boot, which, you know,
exactly.
your middle voice needs to ascend over a very large orchestra. And there is no amplification, so the singer needs to be their own amplifier. And they do that, like you said, through stamina, through vocal technique, diaphragmatic technique, but they also do it through their consonants, which propel the sound if we do it properly. So,
yeah,
really good stuff. I think that you have a beautiful voice. I think that you'll have a great future out there. And if we took all of the challenges away, what would be your one picturesque future for Tara Yamshidian?
I mean, I have to say it. I would love to sing at the Metropolitan Opera.
Okay.
That's definitely a dream of mine. Another one is the Verona Opera House. That's another.
It's so beautiful.
Dream.
Oh, absolutely. Anybody. And I maintain in all of Italy, Verona is my favorite, even more than Rome. I love Verona. And that facility is amazing. I mean, I've been there a few times.
I've never been. I'm dying to.
Oh, that's on your future bucket list.
Yes, exactly.
You'll be there. Don't worry.
Oh, thank you.
All right. We're going to take our goodbye and our thank you to Tara Yamshidian. Thank you for sharing all of this stuff with us today. And we look forward to hearing you on Sunday. Good luck to you.
All right. I'll see everyone then. Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you. And we thank you, our audience, for coming and listening to Artful Living today. WKXL 1450 AM, 103.9 FM Concord, and 101.9 FM in Manchester. Everyone have a beautiful day, and we will see you next time.